2 Peter, verses 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have him, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Father, we thank you for the great joy that we all have of giving to your work. We give not because we must or because we should. We give out of sheer joy, gratitude for all that you have done for us in Christ. And we pray that this money may be used to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here in KZN as well as to the ends of the earth. Thank you for Don C. and Gilmore who are joining us for the year as they work among our mercy ministries. We pray that you will bless and keep them. May it be a wonderful year that they spend here with us in our family. Use them, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, if you will, again this morning, dear friends. We're busy with 2 Peter. Well, brothers and sisters, we are busy going through 2 Peter at all of our services. And the reason why we're doing 2 Peter is because it shows you and me how to live a godly life when times are tough. And things are not always going to be easy, and certainly economically, right around the world, things are heading for tough times. And always the question is, how do I live a godly life? And 2 Peter gives us the way. You may remember last Sunday, I introduced the book to you in verses 1 and 2, where we had a look at Peter. And we showed you the tremendous transformation that came over his life as Jesus changed him from Simon and made him into a Peter. What a great encouragement that is, that the Lord takes us as we are, and He is willing to mold and to shape us into what He wants us to be. Then last Sunday night, we had a look at all that God has done for us. You see, it was important to have a look at that. Before we are ever told what to do, we are always reminded of what God has first done. So all our lives are done in response to the amazing goodness of God. Now what has God done for you, friend? We saw last Sunday night that God called you. Do you know what? That is the most humbling doctrine in the Bible. The reminder that you and I were spiritually dead, unable to turn to God, unable to pray, unable able to do anything spiritually when God took the initiative and saved us. We are saved by the grace of God. Secondly, God gave you everything you need for life and for godliness. That's an amazing statement. That's what Peter tells us here in verse 3. As you look into 2009, whatever you need, God has given you in Christ. And thirdly, God has given it to us some wonderful promises. The Bible is filled with them, and you know them, and we touched on one or two. And then we saw what God, through Jesus, has done. He has called you. He has given you everything you need for life. And He has given us some precious promises. Why? So that you and I may participate in the divine nature. That's an incredible statement. That's an unbelievable statement in many, many ways. And what it means is that the traits and the characteristics of God are to be seen in our lives. The life of godliness, the divine quality of life, the divine characteristics are being formed in the true Christian. Now we come to verse 5. And that's what we're going to touch on this morning and tonight. See verse 5, which Caitlin read to us. For this very reason. You see, what reason? For the reason that God called you. For the reason that God has given you everything you need. For the reason that He's given you His great and precious promises. For the reason that He wants you and I to portray His characteristics in our lives. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. So what we're going to have a look at this morning is what part do I play? We've seen what God has done, but now what must I do? And did you notice those words? The apostle says to us, we must make every effort. Those words are clear, friends. We've got to throw everything that we have in life into this building of a Christ-like character. It takes tremendous earnestness. It takes great industry and hard work. It takes perseverance. But the Word of God tells me I must make every effort to add to what God has done. It's an interesting thing, that little word, add. If I may, if you don't mind me just chatting on that for a moment, make every effort to add. The word add has got a vivid background. It speaks, or it was certainly in the Greek world of those days, a word that was used in a connection with the Greek plays which were put on. All of them required a large choruses. And these were very expensive to maintain. So some wealthy man would come and say, okay, to produce this play, I will pay, I'll put up all the costs for those who are going to sing and do whatever they have to do. I will add to make sure that the play is produced. You know what, friends? If you want to be a man of God and a woman of God, so that at home and work and at play, people are going to see Jesus in your life. And I want to tell you, my friend, it takes hard work. harder you work, the better it gets. The less you work, the less you will grow. Is that all right? You set the pace of your growth. God has called you. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. God has given you precious promises. Now he says, now you make every effort to add. And what he says to us today, as you can see there in verses 5 and 6, he wants us to add 7 things. Now don't be discouraged. We won't do them all this morning. We're going to do only 4 today, this morning, and the last 3 I'm going to do tonight. So what's the first thing that he says to us today? Make every effort to add goodness. There it is on the screen. There's the first thing. That we ought to do everything we can to add. What does this word mean? Well, the first thing that it means in the original, to share it with you so we can really see what the Bible is saying, is that it refers to a moral excellence. It carries the idea of excellence or of virtue in every sense. So it's not merely a passive quality, but it will issue in a life of courageous witness and effective service for God. I've got to work at that. So I look into my life, and maybe I can say that to you. And we look into our lives and we say, you know, I'm a Christian. But there's this area of my life. There's that area. And there's this area. And they let down my witness. And I don't want them to be there. Because there's no moral excellence. And I start to work to get rid of it. Because I want to be a man or a woman who follows God. I want to add to what God has done for me in Christ. But it doesn't only have that connotation. It also has a connotation of a vigor of soul. Ordinary Jones put it like this, he says, it carries the idea that your faith is a living faith. It's an active faith. It's a vigorous faith. It's an energetic faith. I've got to work at that. My brothers and sisters, please, if I'm going to say it very lovingly to you, in 2009, don't allow yourself to settle down into a spiritual, lethargic way of life. Into an apathy. Into a contentment. No. Make every effort to add to your life goodness. To be a man or a woman of moral excellence, whose faith is alive and energetic. Does it happen? No. It takes hard work. Hard work. You've got to make every effort to get it. If you don't, it's not going to happen. What's the second aspect that he wants us to add? See verse 5? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. And to goodness knowledge. So there's number 2. So let's say for you and I here in 2009, above every everything else, wanting above everything else spiritually to be what God wants me to be, He wants me to add knowledge. Knowledge. 7 a.m. mornings in my little life is in the garden. If I don't have weddings and funerals and whatever else takes place. So yesterday from 6 to all day, I was in the garden. So I'm cutting the grass and blow me down is a visit at the gate. Wanting me to read the watchtower. I thought, now goodness gracious. I said, you know, my friend, we're not going to talk now because we're busy. But can I tell you, as you go, 2 things. I want you to know I've grown to love Jesus, and I want you to know that your teaching is very, very wrong, because Jesus Christ is God. And I'll tell you why He is God. And I just gave him a couple of reasons. And I said, no, thank you so much for going. But you see, what I want to share is that for some Christians, they couldn't defend the deity of Jesus. If somebody stops the average Christian and says, do you believe in the Trinity? Could you defend the Trinity? That we have one God in 3 persons. Can you find it in the Bible? Now, can I ask you to come up and do it for me? Now, who can I ask you? But you see, all I say, where's Zephaniah or Habakkuk or all of these? You see, sadly, there are many Christians and their knowledge is appalling. All you need to do is to watch some of these quiz programs on television. And they can tell you who played in this team and who made this investigation and who went to the moon. Who were the first man and woman put in the Garden of Eden? Oh, goodness. I think it was David. They haven't a clue. Not a clue of the Bible. You know what, friends? If you want to grow in your knowledge of the Bible, it takes hard work. It takes hours. It takes hard work to get into a Bible study and to be learning and growing and developing and maturing. It's a thing to say. So let me just come, make every effort to add knowledge. But that's not all that word means. It's also got a practical aspect to it. Because once we grow in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of His Word, it then becomes a knowledge which enables me to make the correct decisions. And that's wonderfully helpful. One of the books I managed to buy at this amazing bookshop was the life story of a man called John Mott. And I'm busy with it at the moment. I've never actually seen it before. I'm sure it's out of print, so I'm enjoying it immensely. But what struck me was that here was a man studying to be a lawyer. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. He was approached by a number of universities to go into the lecturing some of other universities in politics or history or law. And just at that time, he becomes a Christian. And he writes to his mom and dad on what has happened. And a couple of chapters are given as to how he made the right decision for life. He eventually decided to go full-time into the YMCA work. And did the most amazing work you could believe right across the world. You see, knowledge led to correct decisions. To have a knowledge of the Bible and a knowledge of God is going to help me to make the right decisions. Number 3. Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. And number three, and to knowledge, self-control. Self-control. How important that is. Isn't that right, friends? Self-control. See, when you became a Christian, we must remember that our passions and our desires are not removed at conversion. Is that right? They're the same character. And slowly over time, as we put this into action and allow God through His Spirit and through the Word to slowly transform our lives, we are going to seek to bring all our passions and all our desires under the control of the Spirit. So self-control will become the ability to rule myself, body and spirit. It's going to extend over my emotions, my passions, my desires, and my imaginations. It means I allow and I control my passions instead of my passions controlling me. One thing happens every holiday in our little family. Only in holidays. Mary buys the U magazine. Why? Because she is an addict of crossword puzzles. Like her father. So that's it. Why is our Mary in holiday? She's doing this massive jigsaw puzzle. She asks me all these questions. I can't answer one of them. But she loves them. But if you ever look on the heading of the U magazine, who was it? Oh, Oprah. I am addicted to eating. I'm not writing it down. It just sounded interesting. She's learned that what goes through the lips hits the hips. So Oprah is putting on a little bit of weight. You see, this would be quite a helpful thing to ask Auntie Oprah to think about. Don't allow food to ruin your life. Or for others, don't allow pornography to rule your life. Or don't allow whatever it may be to rule your life, your passions, your emotions, your desires, your imaginations. No, don't let them control you. Rather be growing in a Christian where you are in control. Because if you don't, your witness is ruined. You can't control your tongue. You are going to say something that's going to hurt people. But you can't control your tongue. You can't control your temper. You're going to lose it. It's going to smash your testimony. Don't allow your passions. Don't allow your emotions. Don't allow your desires or your imagination to rule you. No! Peter says, make every effort to add goodness, knowledge, self-control. And then lastly today, number four, perseverance. Perseverance. That simply means you don't give up. The mature Christian doesn't give up. We just keep on going. We just keep on plodding on. Keep on. In opposition along the way, discouragements along the way. The mature Christian is unmoved by difficulties and distress because we know that God is with us. That Jesus has promised that everything is working for good, and we keep going by the grace and mercy of God. Perseverance. 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 Now listen, nearly finished. Listen to what Peter says. if. See? It's conditional. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is near-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. My friend, a Christian can be ineffective. A Christian can be unproductive. Oh God, I don't want that to happen in my life. I really don't. Come to the end of your life, you start being ineffective and unproductive. Peter says, always start with God. God has saved you through Jesus. He's giving you everything you need. He's giving you great and precious promises. Now he says, you have got to work hard to add goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. Please come tonight. We'll have a look at the next three. Brotherly kindness, love, and godliness. But all I ask you this morning is spiritually, how are things going? Spiritually. Let's pray together. Friends, just for a few moments before we rush back into all our activities, it's good to close our eyes and just evaluate and how are things going in your walk with Jesus today? Is there that goodness, that passion for knowledge? Are you in control of your emotions, or do they control your life? And are you pressing on? Are you growing? Is the traits and characteristics of Jesus being formed in your life? Are you perhaps lazy spiritually? Oh God, hear our prayer today. Please, Lord, we are weak, but we have grown by your grace to love you. And we, Lord, long to be those who are constantly growing and maturing in our walk with Jesus. Those men and women in whom goodness, knowledge, and self-control and perseverance can be seen. Forgive us where we fail you. Forgive us for those traits that we've allowed to master our lives that ruin our destinies. Forgive us for those things that we allow that cause us to be ineffective and unproductive. And today, give us a great passion to make every effort to add, in Jesus' name.